trials. Seasons of trials are different than trials. Trials can be just a general thing, something just happened to you, you're getting over it. A season of trial, or I dropped you one off, but yes. A season of trial is now it's more than one. Or the one you've got lasts a long time. Everybody got one? She got one. That's right. There you go. That's right. That's right. Yeah, you got a season tonight because you got tomorrow and you had your cat operated on too. That's a season. And you got a, you were the cat. Okay. We're going to talk about the God of trials and we're going to talk about seasons. First, I just want to bring our little continuity scriptures together. Of course, the purpose of trial, first let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. Lord, have your will in your way. We thank you for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, all right, the God of trials. Part 8, so we've been in it quite a long time. But that's okay because everybody's going through something. A trial is the process of proving the quality or worth of something or someone, and a test of your faith, patience, and endurance through the process of suffering. So it's kind of like after you have that surgery, you might hurt really, really bad before the surgery. The surgery can be very painful, and the healing process can be painful. But I always like to look at it this way. The healing process after the surgery, I don't look forward to it, but I thank God for it because that's a healing pain. And a healing pain I know is going to end and it's going to be awesome. And if I don't do something, it's just going to be just a pain and it's never going to go away. Are you, I found your, I got your stub right here. I hadn't put the lights on it yet though. I just wanted to. Got you. I saw it and thought, saw you, and I thought I better tell you. Yes, ma'am.
My son Gio says, no, we don't do the surgery.
Well, but you know what, though? It may change this time. I look at, yeah.
At least it says, go for it. So that was.
But if you got a pain and it won't go away without surgery, if God hadn't healed you, that's why God gives us doctors. If he doesn't heal it automatically, or if he doesn't heal it through the process of prayer and time or medicine, then you need to go to the doctor, and he has to put something back where it belongs or repair something. How's that feel? Yeah, how's that feel? Yeah. So, and a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. I was waiting for Linda to change it. She's not even I'm still doing it myself. Okay. Trials never leave you the same. They either make you bitter or they make you better. And this is from Philippians. Face your trial positively. Accept your trial patiently. Implore God's wisdom in your trial. Trust God through your trial. And harvest the blessing from your trial. And here we are. Seasons. There are seasons of suffering. One of my favorite seasons is fall. And one of my favorite seasons is spring. I like fall because you're getting out of the heat of the sun, the heat of the summer, and all the craziness of summer. People are starting to come back in, or they're reeling back in. It's just easier to keep up with what's going on in the fall. What I don't look forward to is when it gets really, really cold in the winter and you can't go outside. When you do go outside, you can't go out for a while because if you don't, your face will freeze off. You know, and so I like the fall because it gives me the break from the summer. I like the spring because everything's growing. It's beautiful. Just the bees are coming out. The birds are flying around. It's just awesome. But the hardest season of all in our seasons of suffering, and some of y'all are right here right now, maybe not in one area, but in another area. Because remember, you can be going through several seasons at one time. You may be having a problem with a child. You may be in the summer. season, which we'll talk about a little while later. You may be going through a trial with your spouse and you're in the winter, or you may be going through a trial in your own health and you might be in the fall. And so each trial can have its seasons. And so winter is the season of suffering, the chills of pain. And of course, be not surprised at the painful trial you're suffering if something strange is happening to you. When I think about the winter, to me, I think about, I'm colorblind, of course, but I still can recognize colors. I just don't see the same colors y'all see, okay? So when we've got pretty flowers, when we got the fall leaves and stuff falling, some of them I don't see the colors, but some of them I do, and maybe at a different degree and angle. But in the wintertime, there's one thing I do notice. Wintertime to me is just black and white. Okay? Black and white. You have no leaves on the tree. All the plants are dried up. You go through fields and the fields are just, all you see is stubs. And you don't see the animals all running around having fun. You don't hear all the birds chirping like you did because a lot of them have flown away for the winter. And so when I think about that, I just think about when I look around, I don't see fresh growth. When I look around, what I think about is a monument or a remnant of what was. When you're in your season of trial, that's going to be one of the biggest things is you're going to look back and you're going to see and think about what was. Has any of you ever done that? You're going through your trial and you're thinking, wow, you know, before they died, it weren't like this. Or before the job quit, it wasn't like this. Before the job played out. Before this happened, it wasn't like this. I saw hope and I saw growth and I saw this. But now I'm in this winter of trial and it's cold and it's bitter and I feel the wind on my face and there's this sorrow. Now there's just sorrow and tears and heartache everywhere I look. And these blow into everybody's life. You say, well, there's some people I never see them go through that. They are. But you may not, they may be going through it in another area that you're not around. And so you don't see what they're going through. You don't realize they're going through it. You know, there's been times that I worked with people and had no idea what they were going through because it was something they were going through off the job site and it was with their parents or the parents were sick or their kids, you know, they had having problems with their kids. And I worked with a lady didn't even know her kid had cancer. Didn't even know it. At Fountain, because I was not working directly with her. I worked indirectly with her. And somebody came up to me one time and said, we want you to play the bass for an all-Fountain band we're putting together. And I said, why are we putting an all-Fountain band together? And they said this girl's had chemotherapy and it's been a lot of cost to her mama. And I didn't even know she was sick. And so we went to someplace one night and we played, went to out there by the high school in Washington by that American Legion building. And we played. We had a little band put together, all the guys from all different departments, and we played for hours and raised a lot of money for her. But I had no idea, none whatsoever. And it's amazing how sometimes you can be around somebody and people think they're just being mean or they're being harsh, and you find out they're going through a winter of trial. And that's what's making them that way. You know, I heard about one guy that people hated to be around him, and he's passing a kidney stone. And he's having problems with kidney stones. Of course, that's going to make him mad. That's going to make him ill. You know, my daddy, daddy didn't know he had high blood pressure. But daddy was getting ill. Daddy stayed so ill and had such a short fuse. And he weren't feeling good and he kept headaches. People say, you know, you don't necessarily, it's a silent killer. When my blood pressure's crazy, I got headaches. You know, well, daddy was under a ladder at work. Somewhere in Winston-Salem, somewhere around there, and the guy dropped a wrench and hit daddy right there and busted his head. So daddy gets up, daddy's the supervisor, and so daddy says, y'all keep on working. And daddy just holds his head, gets in his truck, you know, John Wayne, gets in his truck. Nobody takes him. He drives to the hospital, which is right around the corner. He gets out and he walks in, and they do the triage on him, and they come in and said, who drove you here? And daddy said, I drove myself. So I've only got a little cut on top of my head. He said, no. I said, your blood pressure is out the roof. He said, it's only by the grace of God you haven't had a heart attack or a stroke. Daddy had no idea. You know, but that was a blessing to him getting that cut. But again, that was showing some of the reasons why he'd been so hard to get along with and why things were going so rough in his life. Again, another winter of trial. Some of y'all right now can sit back and think of somebody you know that they're not acting like themselves. Maybe somebody in your family, somebody close to you, and they're acting really weird. You wonder why they're acting so weird. You know, my first wife was acting so weird the last 6 months she lived, and we couldn't figure out why she was acting so weird. And we found out on her autopsy that she was having mini strokes. And a mini stroke, one mini stroke will get you, but constant mini strokes. And so when they found that, and then found out she had an infected heart, which shot blood clots to her entire body, and her heart was like a sponge, and so blood was shooting all around, and when it all came together, it already blown out the back of her brain, and we didn't know. We just know she was not acting like herself. We knew she was acting real weird, and that was why, because she was having all these mini strokes and had that major stroke that took her out from that infected heart. So again, we were all going through the winter. What we didn't realize, although we were all going through the winter, what was going on with her to make her act that way, you know? And so winter's times of suffering, it blows in our lives to everybody. And as a Christian, though, we have a blanket of strength when all this is going against us, when it feels like our back's against the wall, when it feels like we absolutely, I mean, we just had it. Has there ever been a time where I've had it? Has there ever been a time where you just want to go, I'm through with it? You know, I can do good with my grandchildren. I can go, Pawpaw's got, I don't have any more. It's gone. They'll go, okay, Pawpaw, we'll figure something else to drive you crazy. We don't know. And my dogs will come at me and want something. And then when I go, it's gone, they'll leave me alone. But you can't do that to the devil. He keeps on coming. Keeps on shooting. Keeps on throwing those spears. So, what you have to do is, again, we talked about it Sunday, don't grasp a hold of what you can't do a thing about, because that's only going to frustrate you. It's going to make you mad. It's going to make your faith get weak. It's going to make you think God don't love you, because you're grasping at something you cannot hold. How many out here a car can come down this road at 55 miles an hour and you can just jump out and grab the wheel and stop it? The back tire. Can anybody do it? No? You can't do it. But there's other things I can do to stop that car. I can't stop it by grabbing the tire. You know, I can, whatever. You know, again, the same way, we get in our trials and we try to do what we cannot do. It frustrates us. We get mad at God. We get mad at ourselves. We get mad. We're thinking, I said I wasn't going to do it again, and I did it again. It's because we keep trying to grasp what we cannot change or what we cannot affect. We've got to see what we can affect, and that's how we bring true change. And so what you got to do is, again, you got to go to the Word of God. How do we handle all this stuff happening in the Supreme Court? You go by the Word of God. You have to pay attention to the Word of God. All this stuff happening, you know, they made that deal with Iran, which actually they gave that we gave everything to them, which I knew is how it was going to be. You know, we got nothing. They got everything. And I knew this morning when the president was on TV at 7 o'clock in the morning, he was doing that so everybody couldn't see him, I reckon. Because if it had been a big bad deal, awesome to the bone, he'd have waited till prime time to tell everybody. But he told everybody early in the morning so he can go ahead and say, well, I talked to everybody. Sure, 7 o'clock in the morning, just enough to make some people mad enough. I'm surprised we didn't have more wrecks today. You know, when I got through hearing all the deal, there was no deal for us. And even the Iranians, even some of the Iranians even said, came on their TV and said that the president was a failure. Our president and all the things we're trying to do was a failure. So let me ask you a question. Who won? Iran. They're getting the sanctions are taken away from them. And all it said is, if we don't think they're doing right, then we're just going to go in there and put more sanctions on them. Once you've let that cat out the bag, you're not going to pull them back in. It's impossible. That's right. It's crazy, but that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And you can't go but so far. It's like the time I told you about at the school when they told me they had to give South Johnson High School a 2 or 3 day notice before they went in and do a drug search. Why are you going to give them a 2 or 3 day notice before you do a drug search? You go ahead and do it right then. You have to tell them right then. Okay, so here's what you got to remember. There's things when you're going through your seasons of trial and you're going through that winter, it's hard, and it's bitter and it's cold. And the greatest, the byword for the winner is what used to be. That's your big byword. What used to be. When you're going through something, and your biggest byword is it didn't used to be like this, or what used to be, you'll know that you are going through a spiritual winter. And it's not pleasant, but guess what? It doesn't last forever because another season's coming. Okay? What comes out the winter? Spring. Well, he probably had a heyday. He didn't leave us. That's what has happened. That's it. We've left God. Yes. I was talking to a serviceman one day who fought and bled for this country. And I mean, fought and bled and had buddies taken down beside him. And he asked me what happened to the country that he fought for. What happened to it? Yeah, what happened to it? He said, why don't, and then he asked me this, and this guy isn't even a churchgoer. He asked me, he said, and where's the church in all of this? Well, you want the best example. You want the best example in this nation of how to mix scripture and leadership. Proper leadership is the founding fathers, because they took the proper scriptures, and they didn't just say it. Our Constitution and everything we stand on is based on the Holy Bible. It's all based on it. Well, you know what? They have pulled back the police in all the major cities, especially in Baltimore, and now Baltimore's crime rate and murder rate has skyrocketed. Now, you tell me, where's that coming from? You know what I'm saying? When you take, it's like when you take the parents' ability to punish their children away, then the children went wild the same way. You take the police away and tie their hands and they can't do anything, then see what's happening, because they're afraid they're going to hurt somebody. And again, all because of one or two. And here's what really makes me mad. The young lady that was shot by the illegal alien who had been sent away five times, who had seven, felonies against him, and he walks up and says he just saw the gun on the ground, picked it up and pulled the trigger and shot her in the neck. killed her or where we shot her. And she said last night on O'Reilly, her daddy said, last thing she said was, help me, daddy. And she went down. She is pregnant. Where, now, do you know they ask them, Obama nor Biden or anybody has called her house? Just check on her. When Baltimore, when that went down, they sent all kinds of stuff out there. But now this woman gets shot by an illegal alien and nothing happens. That's right. It's the gun. It's the gun, not the flag. He didn't go over to the flag and kill all them people. He went there with a gun and killed all those people. Okay, well, let's get this because we'll get all political, and I'm already getting fired up just thinking about it. All right. Remember this. Okay, here you go. Here's what you got to remember. When you can't think of anything else in your winter trials, and all you can think of is what used to be. That's all you can think of because there's nothing fresh happening. It's just what used to be. And I hate it when I get in that mode of what used to be. Because when you get in that mode, you're not looking forward anymore. You're looking backwards. I'm pretty sure. How many here are good drivers? Well, nobody's ready. Oh, there's a couple of hands. How many can drive really good in their rearview mirror? Looking in their rearview mirror for a short distance, yeah. But I got in Daniel's truck last night, and it's really pretty cool because his truck, as soon as you put it, there was his radio, and as soon as I put it in reverse, all of a sudden I saw the car behind me. I said, "This is cool." Had that backup camera, so I backed up. Without that backup camera, I thought I was about to hit the car, and I had a long ways to go once I saw that backup mirror. But even with that backup mirror, I couldn't put that truck in reverse and take it very far. We cannot go forward with our eyes stuck in the rearview mirror. So when you're in the winter of trial, what used to be, that's what you got to do. Remember this. Here's what you remember. Just remember these five things, and we'll close it real soon. All right, number one, God loves you. God loves you. I was talking to a guy today, and he says, I'm lost. I'm in a fix. There's nothing. There's no help for me. And before we got through, I gave him some of these right here, and he went, wow, I didn't even think about that. First, God loves you. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He loves us. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad things are, He still loves us. He's still there. He's still there watching over us. And I've told you during this series, had a couple come to me and say, where was God when my son died? And I told them the same place He was when his son died, on the throne, in control. God still loves us. He's still there. Number two, God is with you. This got some of my Sunday morning sermon here. God is with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Why did it say leave and forsake? This is why. If you're taking notes, write this down. Leave you is actually physical. He said, you might not can feel my presence, but it's there. I am there. And forsake is emotional. He said, I will not leave you physically. I will not leave you emotionally. I'll be there for you. So there's a lot of people there physically, but can't touch your emotions, can't help you. There's some that are emotionally, can help your emotions, but they're not there physically. And so you can't get in touch with them. What's so awesome is God, physically and emotionally, He is right there. And He's waiting for you to call out to Him. God understands your weaknesses. How many here's got a weakness? Or two? Or three? Okay. God understands your weaknesses. We do not have a high priest, or we have a high priest actually, but we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Now there's a difference in empathy and sympathy. There's a big difference. Ladies, y'all having a baby, I empathize. I never had one. I never had one. So, I mean, I've been in there when all my kids were born, but I still didn't have that baby. Well, there was a lady doctor told me that she had two kids and a kidney stone. The kidney stone was worse than the two kids. But what I was going to say is, though, if you've lost your mama and I've lost my mama, I can sympathize with you now because I've been there. Okay, so you got to look at that. He says he's got a high priest that can sympathize, not just empathize, sympathize with you. He's been through the same temptations. You say, well, he never had a car. Well, he didn't have to have a car. Whatever the temptation you have in that car can still be had some other way, and he got it. You say, well, he never had a wife, he never had a family. His daddy died at an early age. Jesus had to take care of his family, took care of the family business. He was the father in that household. He took care of everybody. So with Jesus taking care of everybody, he knows what it's like to meet schedules. He knows what it's like to take care of a family. He knows what this is all about. He can sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one. But he was tempted in every way as we are. The difference is he didn't cave in. Is anybody, don't raise your hand. Anybody caved in lately? I have to admit, there's been some times I've caved in. You know, I was talking to my youngins yesterday, and I told them, you know, well, it was actually Bethany. We had to fix the car that she tore all to pieces. And so went and got parts and went and got it fixed. And I told her, I said, if you wreck that car next time, I said, I'm going to beat you, and then I'm going to find out what's wrong with you. And she looked at me and she said, excuse me? I said, you got to learn how to drive, girl. I can't keep coming and fixing the car. The car, now they won't even give me inch. They won't even give me collision on it anymore. Yeah, I mean, that's bad when they won't even give me collision. You know, at least they're still giving me liability. But I don't know how long, because she keeps wrecking that thing. All right. So I told her, I said, girl, you make me cave in more than any other young'un I got when I see you in that car driving. Now, anywhere else, I'm fine, but get her in that car, and all of a sudden, you know, God cares about your struggle. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, here's another one of those wild terms, cast. It actually is a term used of a man with a very heavy load, and instead of toting it himself, he takes it off of his back and he throws it with violence. He tears it off of his back and he throws it on the back of a dromedary, a camel or a mule or a burro. He takes it and he throws all that off of his back and he throws it on that animal and he straps it down. And that's what it says. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That doesn't just mean throw it at him. It means actually take it and put it on him. Tie it to him. He can take it. He can handle it. He's there. You know, trust him to do what he said he could do. Remember this. God controls your circumstances. Did everybody know that? That God's still in control. How many's ever said God's still in control? God's in control. God's in control. Well, what does that mean? God's in control. I'll be all right. God's in control. What does that mean? Well, didn't you have your hand raised while God didn't call you out? Didn't you raise your hand for something? Oh, you did. I can't remember. I was so busy going back and forth here. I'm still thinking about Iran. Well, I want you to read this scripture right here. This scripture here will really help you. Matter of fact, this helps me with what we got going on in Washington, D.C. today. Not just with Obama, but with all of those guys. Because you know it's going to be just going to be a big old cat fight up there. Daniel answered, Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. And he setteth up kings and presidents and prime ministers, even in Iran. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge them to no understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thy God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Now I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. Daniel answers, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changed the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who have given me wisdom and might, and has made known to me now what we desired of you, for you have made known to us the solution to the king's problem. God wants to use us to make things better. Us. Somebody told me, what kind of difference can I make? And I told that person, you might can only make a little ripple in the water, a little splash, but the ripple will just keep on going. And so think about it this way. Maybe you can only talk to one person, but that person talked to 10 people, and those 10 people talked to 100 people, and those 100 people talked to 1,000, and eventually one of them wound up going to Congress, or even going and wound up to the president. And what you did way on back here influenced the president. Yeah, that's right. You get a lot. Okay. So now, almost through. Remember this, God is trustworthy. This is awesome. God is trustworthy. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his past and his ways are past finding out. I love the Amplified Version. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unfathomable, inscrutable, unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions. And how untraceable, mysterious, undiscoverable are his ways, his methods, his paths. God is trustworthy. And even when I think he's left me alone, I find out later on he hadn't left me alone. There may have been a time when he was actually just making a way where there was no way. And I had to just be quiet and let him make his way. Because once he made the way, then things got better. God increases his provision. Now, this is another one of them awesome scriptures. Now, in the hymn, you've got the King James Version. I'm going to read the Amplified. Now, to him who, by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far above and beyond all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Wow. That's some awesome, awesome stuff. How many's ever made a mistake? Did you know that God can take that mistake? Believe it or not, God can take that mistake and make something good out of it. Did you know that? God can take your mistake, that crazy mistake that you wish you had never made, never seen, never heard, you made it, and you're thinking, I'm stuck with it for the rest of my life. Not necessarily. Yeah, it's tough, but there's some you're going to have to face for the rest of your life. But there's things he can take even that, and he can fix it. Nay, in all these things, talks about all the stuff that's going on, it's all the stuff afterwards. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Watch this. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. God can even take your mistakes and make something good out of it. God gives sufficient grace. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Again, here it is again. Look at how awesome our God is. Wow. I mean, more than enough. I'm going to read the Amplified Version. God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, or furnishing in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. And then finally, and this is what you got to always remember, above all, this is the main one. Keep this in your hat. Always remember this one. Don't ever forget it, because if you forget this one, you'll find yourself tossing and turning, trying to figure out what to do next, looking back, seeing what used to be. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. Wow. Remember, winter, look what used to be. Man, I wish we could go back to used to be. And here he is. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? Will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Next time you're tempted and you're in the winter of your trial and you're looking, you see nothing but just barren ground. That's all you see, barren ground. You don't hear the birds chirping. You don't see the fish jumping. You don't see all this. All you see is black and white. And when you're colorblind, it really gets black and white. My wife will tell me all the time, she'll ride down the road, she'll start talking about something. I go, where? And she'll go, I'm talking about the red stuff over there. And I go, where? And she'll go, never mind. But I tell you what, this is true love now. She's set back and she's got me figured out. She figures out most of the time what I see. And so she'll say, okay, that thing is brown. You see that brown over there? I said, sure. She said, that's red. And she said, that's what she does. And she'll go, that's the red thing I saw, that brown thing right over there. And I go, yeah, that's brown. Like Bethany's fender. I didn't know it was green. Honestly, I didn't know it was green. But she got a white car. We put a green fender on it yesterday. So I had to stop and look at it really strong and had to get in a strong light so I could see it was green. But I took Linda's word for it. Linda just said, remember, just let her know. That reminds her of all the money it costs every time she drives crazy. I don't know. I've tried to figure all this out and I can't figure it out. I just go with the flow on that one. But still, remember not, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Think about it. Quit living in yesterday. Quit driving through the rear view mirror. It will drive you crazy. You will get disappointed because all you're thinking about is what could have been instead of what's going to be. I look up forward, and all those black and white, I know that better days are coming. Matter of fact, I start watching the days, and I start thinking about how it gets dark at 5 o'clock or earlier. And when the light starts getting a little bit later and later at night, I start getting excited. I'm thinking, here we go. We've already passed it. We're moving forward now. And now I get up and start hearing birds. I go, there we go. Now here we go. You know, and so, again, quit looking back, because back there is pain, sorrow, regret, hurt. Learn the lessons back there, but then move forward. It's like Michael Jordan said. They said, well, how could he go shoot such a good shot after he's missed one? He said, because I don't dwell on that bad shot. And you watch pro ball players, and even my ball players when I was coaching, if a guy that usually made a lot of good shots, he made a bad shot and then made another bad shot, then it was hard to get him back up because he was so focused on the bad shot behind him. And I'd say, forget the bad shot behind you. Look ahead. Forget the bad shot. Go forward. It's going to be okay. It might be gaining on you. That's right. And like Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. Any questions or comments? Let's pray. Father, I love you and I praise your name. I, I thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your power and your anointing. I thank you, God, that we're not having to do this on our own, God. We've got you. And, Lord, you're helping us, Lord, more than we ever know. And there's times where we don't see your hand. But, again, when we can't see your hand, we can trust your heart. And I thank you for it. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch everybody in this place right now. Let them all feel your power. Let them feel your anointing. Let them be sparked by what you can do for them. Let them be sparked by what's going on in everybody in our lives, Lord, and know that even though it looks bad right now, in 1 minute, you can change everything. Everything. And I thank you for it, Lord. Help us to not look back, but look forward and to trust you in the pain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, let me ask you a question. Think about the worst thing you can possibly go through right now. Just think about it. Just think about it. What you're going through now. Think about one of the worst things you're going through right now. If I walked up to you, or Publishers Clearinghouse drove up to you and said, you just won $5,000 a week for the rest of your life, and you can pass it on to an heir that they win $5,000 a week for the rest of their life, how would this trial feel? The trial. Think about the worst thing that you're going through, okay? Think about the absolute worst thing you're going through right now. And you dwell on it. And you just think about it all the time. It's always in your mind. It's always there. You're always thinking about it. What if while you're thinking about that trial, the Publishers Clearinghouse truck pulled up and it was not a joke. And they told you, you just won $5,000 a week for the rest of your life. And whoever you, what would you say? Well, I mean, would you still be sitting there going, no, you'd be going, huh? Wait a minute. I got $5,000 a week for the rest of my life, and then one of my kids get it for the rest of their life, you know, or whoever gets it, you know, wow. You know what? Your perspective. I mean, the trial's still there, but it changes. It changes. Because now you're even thinking, wait a minute, I got $5,000 a week. I might even be able to fix this thing to the problem I got right now. You know, all of a sudden, everything changes. No. What I'm just saying is, though, it would overshadow the trial and take some of the sting away from the trial. It would lower the trial down. It would take some of the sting away from it. Some people might take the whole sting away from it. Might even take the trial away. Yeah, I can afford a lawyer now. You're gone. Yeah, then they're taken care of. They're taken care of, yeah. You know, doctor to come to one guy and said, God, he called his personal number, and he said, I got some good news and some bad news for you. They said, well, give me I got some bad news and got some worse news. And he says, well, give me the bad news first. He said, you've only got 24 hours to live. And he said, well, what's worse than that? He said, I tried to get up with you yesterday. I know that's not as bad as foul play, but it was okay. Okay, well, look, come on Sunday, and what we're going to talk about Sunday, think about this, with all this stuff that's happening around us, I'm not sure of the title yet. I'm working on the title, but this may be one of the titles. I'm not sure. Getting the courage to begin again. All right? Getting the courage to begin again. Right? Or the confidence to begin again. Because sometimes you get knocked down, you get your breath knocked out of you, you get up and you're kind of scared to step back up. And right now, what I'm seeing in our government is actually knocking the confidence out of a lot of Christians and got them bewildered. So that's what we're going to talk about Sunday, is getting the getting the confidence to begin again, or getting the confidence to stand up, get back in the fight. Everybody happy? And you know it? Say amen. Brother, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?